The Shir, Zedekiel Refuah Shleima, Shalom, Ben Shoshana Chana. Parshas Metzora. We're going to develop one idea in two different Rambans, and then the second one has some other tangential points, but it's basically one idea. And it's the following, and it actually is a bridge between two things in this Parsha that are not obviously bridgeable. The Parsha, as if you gave an overall theme, discusses the halachos of Tumah Vetara and different kinds. The beginning of Metzora is the process of how a Metzora, someone who has Tzaras, gets out of his Tumah, the process that he has to undergo. Then in the middle is the Tzaras that we were lacking from Parshat Tazriah. Parshat Tazriah had Tzaras on a guf and Tzaras on a beged, which we discussed. And all the details of Tzaras on a bias is in the middle of the Parsha. And then it goes into other Tumos of a Zav and a Zava and a Nida and other and you'll lead this, other examples of Tumah. So that's the overall theme of the Parsha, and the Ramban will zero and maybe bridge it a little bit better. But what he deals with is the process in which a Metzora removes his Tumah. So we'll just quickly go through what exactly happens. So he finds out that he has Tzaras. In the simplest case, where let's say right away, all the signs are there, and the neged turned white, and there's the two hairs, and the Kohen says, you have Tzaras, so he has to go sit outside, Michutz L'machaneh, and he has to wait 7 days. And then, it's not enough, he can't just go into the mikvah, he has to also bring karbanos. That's part of his process of tahara, opposed to other people who are tamei. Let's say someone touched a nevela, so they just wait one night and they go to mikvah. Or a nida waits 7 days and goes to the mikvah. There's no need for a karbon. But by a mitzora, there's not only a need for a karbon, there's a need for three karbanos. And that's where the parsha starts off. Zos tia toras mitzora biyom tarasohu vol akoim v'yotza komechatz l'machaneh. And he sees the naga is fine. Then he brings the birds. And then he again waits 7 days, washes his, cleans his clothes in the mikvah, he shaves all his head, and then on the final day, he brings, this is Pasuk Yud, B'yom HaShmini Yikach Shnei Chavasim Tmimim V'Kivsa Achas Bashnasa Tmima. So he takes two kivasim, right, two male goats, and the Kivsa Achas Bashnasa Tmima, and one-year-old female, and he brings all three karbanos, and what does he bring them as? As an asham, as an ola, and as a chatas, right? The asham is pasuk yud beis. V'lakach ha'kohen et ha'keves ha'echad v'hikriv osol la'asham. V'yas lug ha'shemen, and then he lug ha'shemen ha'nif osol tenufa l'fnei Hashem. There's also the lug ha'shemen that the kohen puts the on the mitzorah. And then pasuk yud gimel is the chatas. V'lachshachar es ha'keves magam v'asher yishachar es ha'chatas. V'yas ol magam ha'kodesh ki chatas ka'ashem hu l'kohen kodesh ka'ashem. So just like he brings the chatas at asham, he also brings, and just like he brings a chadas and ola, he also brings an asham.
Do we know the reasons for all these?
That's exactly what we're going to discuss. That's, on the ball as usual.
I read the notes.
just want to, yeah. Right, and again, it repeats it. It repeats it in pasuk yud chas and yud tes. That's where the Ramban's going to zero in after he puts the shemen. After he puts the shemen on the kaf of the kohen puts the shemen on his palm and he puts it on the mitzora. Rebbe Hanoser ha b'shemen asher al kaf a kohen yitein al rosh ha'metayer v'chibar alav a kohen lefnei Hashem, and the kohen gives him kapara in front of Hashem. V'asa kohen as a chatas v'chibar as al metayer mitumaso v'acher yishachet as ola. First the kohen brings the chatas, then he brings the ola, and then he brings the minchan and Hashem. So those are the three basic karbanos, and those are really the three, minus the shlamim, there are really four major types of karbanos we have in the whole Torah. There's the chatas, which is generally brought for certain types of sins, and asham is brought for other types of sins. Then you have an ola, which is not brought for a specific sin, but it's brought to give a person ritzoi. It's an expression of coming close to Hashem, and the Gemara says that it's brought on also the sin of being bevatel a mitzvah saseh. Then a person would bring an ola, and you have shlamim, other contexts where a person brings a shlamim like a karban todah. But so he brings three out of the four major karbanos, and the question is why? What did he do? If you look in the simple explanation of the pesukim, there's no chet mentioned at all. So why bring a chatas? And then if there's no chet at all, why have a double? It seems like there's a double there. There's a chatas and an asham, and there's a need for an ola. Ola goes above, and once a person has gotten his, so to speak, kapara, and he's squared off in his averus, and an ola brings him one step closer. So it sounds like the mitzora has a lot of work to do to get back to his, to improve his relationship with Hashem. So what's lacking? If you look at the Pesukim, it doesn't mention any Averos. The Gemara discusses Averos that a Mitzora brings, right? Rashi references it already in the beginning of the Parsha, but it's not clear in the Pesukim there are Averos. Rashi says, why does he bring birds? Right? Before that, he waits the 7 days. In the beginning of the process, he brings birds. So why does he bring birds? So Rashi says, "Lefisha negayim bayin alosh and hara shemaisa petute dvarim lefichach his kugula taraso tziporim shemefatin tamim betzifsef kol." Just like the birds chirp, 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 and they make a lot of noise, so too someone who speaks lashon hara, he's basically just, you know, the words are just coming out, he's just chirping. So therefore, midah k'neged midah, we tell him to bring birds as a carbon. So there Rashi is alluding to the fact that Saras comes from lashon hara. It's based on the Gemara in Erchin, and it lists off, I think, like 8 things that, it's on Tes Zayin Amud Beis, lists off a bunch of things that Saras is caused by, but the Pesukim, as Isaac's going to point out, the Pesukim don't say a word about sin here, but we know that there must be a sin because he's bringing a chatas.
Right, but if you say that it's because of lashon hara, so theoretically lashon hara is between Adam lechavero.
Okay.
So why does it say like
lefnei Hashem? So well, every sin of Adam lechavero does a, you know, is wrong. It affects. It's going against the tzivoy of Hashem. But even still. I think the question's equally true. So if you look in the Ramban on the sheet in Pasuk Yirches, right, where it says that the Kohen puts the Shemen and he's mechaper lefnei Hashem. What does he need kapara for? So first the Ramban, just the details he gives you, right? B'maisedam Hashem v'Shemen tiy kapara zos, through the blood of the Hashem and the oil he gets his kapara. V'chein lechaper lefnei Hashem. Tarat Kohen v'noser v'Shemen asher akafa Kohen yitel roshem v'tayr v'chaper. Im nasim keeper v'im lo nasim lo keeper. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Uri, Omer, Shiri, Mitzvah, Heim, Ben Shanasim, Ben Shanasim, Keeper. So they quote some Machlokis Tanayim, which is interesting to know, whether or not the Shemen that we put on the head of the Mitzvah, is that Ma'akiv or not. According to Rabbi Kiva, if you don't do it, then you get no Kapara. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you leave it out, it's okay. It's better to have it, but it's okay if you leave it out. Okay? V'chiper Alav, Ala Asham. V'hine Amar Akasav, V'asham V'chiper. Now by the Asham it says that he gets kapara. The chos of the Omer bechatas, the chiper metayer mitumaso. Not just that he gets kapara from his tuma. That's what it says bechatas. The Omer old ba'ola and pasachaf, all three back to back. Uvemincha the chiper alav hakohen v'taher. So there's one just regular kapara. Then there's kapara from tuma. Then there's the ola which gives kapara which adds tahara. So it sounds like there are three levels. First it's just regular kapara. Then it's not enough, we have to remove the tumah. But even if we've removed the tumah, we haven't necessarily reached tahara to get to better than where he was from before. V'lo yadanu ma'inyin ha-kaparas alal kulan. I don't even know what any of these kaparas are. Forget the three levels. I can't even start with the basics. What is this kapara here? So the Ramban then takes a stab what it is. Ulai ha'ashem yichapir al ma'alo asher ma'al kodem nigo. The asham's brought for the act of treason, right, that's what Me'ilah literally means, for the Avera, the rebellion against Hashem, before he got his Neged Saras. There must be some Avera that caused his Neged Saras. That's why he got it. It wasn't just an act of Teva. It was obviously planned in Hashkacha that he deserves this Saras for some Avera. And that is the first carbon, the Asham. Now, why specifically the Asham opposed to the Chatas? Is a question to ask here, and that you probably would have to look in the Ramban back in the beginning of Vayikra, where he describes the differences between an Asham and a Chatas. I think he says that an Asham really, right, exactly, because a Chatas normally, in most cases, only comes for an Avera B'Shogig. You never bring a Chatas for an Avera B'Mezid. Let's say all the times we bring a Chatas, someone's Michal Shabbos, so he brings a chatos. That's only if he's mechal Shabbos ben shogig. If he's mechal Shabbos ben mizid, so if there's edim and hasra, he's chayv misa. And if there isn't edim and hasra, he's chayv kares. So we have certain punishments that take care of the mizid. If it's done intentionally, if it's done unintentionally, we have a chatos. But ashamos, sometimes a person brings an asham, even if he does a sin intentionally. That's the gemara. That's the whole parsha in the end of Vayikra. If a person, let's say, is over on the aver of me'ilah, he misuses something that's appropriated for hektish. So even if he does it intentionally, he brings an asham. So the Ramban says that an asham is, in a certain sense, more chamer than a chatas. And he says the asham comes from the lashon of shmama, which means to be totally destroyed, total destruction, emptiness, nothing left. That a person really deserves, without the asham, he deserves to be wiped away, to be nothing, and the asham is able to give him a kapara. So maybe, not sure why, but maybe the asham is the one on the chet previously, because that's the real reason why he's in trouble here, is because he did a previous chet that caused the tzaras. So the asham will take care of that. Then what does the chatas do? We already took care of the cause of the tzaras, so then why are we worried about anything else? the whole thing that caused it, whatever Avera was, we took care of it, we brought an Asher, we received Kapara. So now what's wrong that he needs to fix? Okay, we removed the root of the sin, but by having tsaras, maybe by having tsaras, he didn't get the proper message and use the tsaras as an opportunity to do tshuva. Instead, what did he do? Ulai b'tsaro nasan tifla l'Elohim. Maybe due to the tsar that he was in, it's a very not pleasant, it's very not unpleasant to have tsaras. He has to, first of all, probably physically uncomfortable. Second of all, he has to leave his house, go michutz l'machana, no one talks to him, he's all by himself. Maybe he said, why do I deserve these yisurin? Why do I deserve these sorrows? And what did he do? The Ramban here is paraphrasing a pasuk in Eov, that Eov, in the end of Perek Aleph, says, Hashem, you gave me all these yisurin, and I took it, and I accepted it, and not only did I accept it, I never gave a tifalah l'Elohim. I never gave a complaint. I never said something against you, Hashem. I accepted these yisurin. It's interesting that it's the same shorish as the word is tefillah. Just the difference is that...
So that would be good.
That would be good to David.
No, he's
saying maybe...
Says this,
no, that's what Eov says. Oh. But he's saying maybe this person who has tzaras didn't have the same attitude as Eov. And he did give a tefillah l'Elohim. He made complaints. During the whole time that he was sitting in chutz l'machana, he was complaining to Hashem, saying, what do I deserve this for? Why'd you do this to me? So that itself, even though he removed the source of why he was being punished, now he has to take care of that with a chatos. That he might have said inappropriate statements while he was in the state of tsaras, and therefore he brings a carbon chatos. Fine.
That wasn't shogig.
That was not shogig, right. So it's not shogig. It breaks all the rules. It's not shogig, and normally a chatos is only for an avera that you're chayiv karesim. To complain to Hashem, it's not good. It's not a proper hashkafos, but you're not chayiv karesim. So maybe we'll deal with that. And now that's why
it's a young married couple is supposed to, before they get married, supposed to be a chatos.
Don't think so. Definitely not a chatos.
They have to bring a korban.
Do they have to bring a ger? Has to bring a korban. Is that
no,
what you're referring to?
Chas and kal have to bring something before they get married.
Really?
No. What you got to do is you got to give it the bracelet and the yichud.
No. If the young married, if you daven,
I never heard that. Maybe. No, I don't think
they're. There is something.
I don't know if they're. I don't know if they're obligated. They're definitely not obligated.
It's on tape. It's on tape.
They're not. I don't think they're obligated in bringing a korban. Maybe they're bringing a korban toda. That they're. I mean.
Maybe.
That any person who has a good situation, you know, something to thank Hashem, they would bring a shlamim or a toda. But I never, you have to, I never, you'll figure it out. Okay.
Why does the mitzvah get tahar twice?
Tahar twice. Meaning what? Okay, so that's what we'll try to deal with a little bit. That's what we call mechusrei kapara, that even though he does the tahara in terms of the mikvah and the physical process, then certain Tmeim need to go through a process of karbanos, what we call mechusrei kapara. They're lacking kapara to give them full tumah. It's two stages. He's in this in between stage. I think we call him. He's like a tful yom, meaning that his tumah is lessened by the fact that he went through the original process. His tumah is lessened. Some of the restrictions that he had in terms of how stringent the punishment would be if he went into the Beis HaMikdash has been lessened, and in terms of the levels of if he touched something, the levels of tumah went down one level, but he's still tummy because he's mechusar kapara. He's lacking in the karbanos. They need to bring him.
But he's allowed back into the machane.
He's allowed back into the machane, but he's not allowed back into the machane. Let's say he's allowed back into machane Yisrael. He's not allowed back into machane Shechina. He's not allowed into the Mikdash. So that's what you see. There's stages.
Right.
Meaning, we peeled away some of the tumah. He doesn't have the full stringency of tumah he originally had, but he's still not fully tar. There's other examples of this. It's just a regular example of someone goes to the mikvah during the day, on their last day of tumah. So until nightfall is what's going to give him the full tahara. So in that in between stage, he's called the tful yom, meaning he went to the mikvah during the day. Mm-hmm. He needs harav shemesh, the setting of the sun, to bring him tahara. So here, what's unique here is that he's not just a tful yom because he's waiting for the day. He's even more than a tful yom. He's lacking karbanos to bring him his full tahara. So that we'll discuss when we'll see. There's other examples in this week's parsha. And now, once we know that the chatas is an additional layer of need of kapara, not just for the sin that caused the tsaras, we can understand the psukim. V'zeh tam mitumaso. Because it doesn't just say on the chet, right? Originally, he brings an asham just to get kapara, because it's just an avera. But now, maybe there's a chet that took place in the time of his tumah. There's something that happened beforehand, that's the kapara, but in Pasuk Yud Tes it says, V'asa kohen et ha-chatas v'chiper al ha-metayer mitumaso. from his tuma, because in his state of tuma, he may have done another avera that warrants a chatas. V'ha'ola v'ha'mincha yulo kofir nefesh shizaka li tayer v'losho v'ha'olo. L'kach amar v'chibar l'vakoin v'taher. Okay, now he's squared himself off, and he no longer is being punished. He gets his kapara, but to go back, to reach higher levels, to go back to the way he was, to have a full tshuva, he needs an ola. Because it's not enough just to say, right, in just a basic mushal, somebody does something wrong to a spouse or a friend, it's not enough just to say, it isn't something, maybe it's enough to say you're sorry, but an added level of apology is not only do you say you're sorry, but you bring flowers, so to speak, with the apology. So the chatat, the asham are layers of apologies. The ola is saying, not only do I want to get even and go back to where I was, I want to show you, Hashem, that I'm interested in going forward, taking steps to show that I'm interested in fixing this relationship. So he brings an ola, and that's what fully allows him to go back to his ol, to back to his house, back to his family, back to his wife. Therefore, it says, after the ola, v'chiper lov ha'kohen v'taher. He becomes pure. Let's pause here. So we see from here, as you asked, there's no real sin. There's no real sin of that would warrant a real chatas. It's not like he was over on an Isser Karis. He wasn't Michal Shabbos. He maybe in his state of tzar said things that he shouldn't have said. Why does he bring a chatas? So what we see from these karbanos is that there's a whole new category of karbanos, and that is that in terms of technical averos that warrant a karban, if it wasn't for these psukim, we wouldn't have never thought that a person brings karbanos in these types of states. If you just have vayikra alone, you would say it's very simple. It's a very simple formula. I'm over on a specific avera. I'm Chal Shabbos, I bring a chatas, I swear falsely, or I'm mal behektish, I misuse hektish, so I bring an asham. But now what we get expanded by Mitzvah is I haven't really done a sin on the books, per se, that would warrant karbanos in Parshas Vayikra, but since I got the punishment of Tzaras, in order to get my kapara, in order to get my tara, I need a kapara, and therefore I'm bringing karbanos. So what these parshios reveal is that the spiritual state, that saras isn't just a physical disease. The spiritual state that a person's in that warrants saras, at the same time, he'll have to bring karbanos to get out of that, because a person shouldn't just view the things that happen to him as happenstance. So much so that we have to then take a step back and view them as a punishment of sorts, a punishment of sorts that requires karbanos. So what the Torah here is adding is that there's going to be karpanos for things that we wouldn't have seen until this parsha as such chamer sins. We would have viewed them as, right, Lashon Hara causes saras. So he spoke Lashon Hara, then again he spoke inappropriately towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to not only get kapara to fix the averus, he wants to even further, so he brings three karpanos. So you see how much the Torah, how much it expects from a person, the fact that in these situations we're going to bring these karbanos, it's not just that a person is going to be punished for being over on serious averos, so much so that he's expected to be held to a high standard when he's in his state of tzaras already. He's bringing chatas mitumaso for things that he did, when rightfully so. A person can understand, not justify, but at least a person can understand where it would come from that someone would have complaints in his state. And even still, the Torah has such high expectations, partially because saras wasn't just a happenstance, but the fact that someone has saras is a sign of being in a certain spiritual state. And we see this is a similar point. We're going to flesh out a lot of the details in this Ramban, because they're more the parenthetic details, but we see a similar point in the end of the Parsha, and that is in Parak Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. What we're describing here is a Zav. Right? There's a Zav and a Zava. A Zav is a man who sees an emission from his body at what makes it different than regular Balkari, right? A regular Balkari also sees an emission of semen, but for a Balkari, he's only Tamei for one day, and he goes to the mikvah, and he's finished. A Zav not only is Tamei for 7 days, but it's not enough to go to the mikvah, he has to bring karbanos. So what makes it Zav different? Rashi explains here, he sees numerous times in a row. Three times in a row, that's what makes him a Zav. It's not just a Balkari, and therefore he brings karbanos. So the Ramban explains here, why does he bring karbanos? This is even harder to understand than a Mitzorah. A Mitzorah, the Gemara says, is caused by a sin. But to have a mission from a body, which the Ramban says is a sickness, so why do we require him to bring karbanos? So if you look on the sheet, we'll go back to the details here. But if you skip down, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs where it starts with Tam Tumas Azav Beish. The small lines, two sentence paragraph here. V'tam tumas hazav b'ish, hazov b'ish, mimnei hayosu choli kavi min acholayim hanidbakin. He says it's a sickness. It's not just a happenstance like a Baal Keri, who it's a normal occurrence to have this admission. The fact that it happens so many times, it's a sickness. He says it's a sickness that's contagious. Choli hanidbakin. He gets it attached from somebody else. B'tzarech karbon v'aseis hoda l'shem shabripo so v'taro. Again, the Zav, similar to the Mitzorah, brings two karbanos. He brings an Ola. No, sorry, he brings one karban. I think he brings just a Chatos. That is in Pasuk. No, he brings two karbanos. In Pasuk, Yud. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Ubiyom Hashmini, Kachlo, Shnei Sorim, Shnei Bnei Yor, Bnei Yor, he brings an Ola and a Chatas. The Ashem had the Mitzorah, the Ashem, the Ola, the Chatas. The Zav,
he's flying.
The Zav brings a Ola and a Chatas. So why does he bring an Ola? He had a very serious illness. He's bringing Ola to thank Hashem for Refuah. Why does he bring a Chatas? The fact that he got sick. Again, he should view it like Tzaras. Person that gets tzaras doesn't just say, oh, it's the natural occurrence of the world. There must have been a reason that caused my tzaras. It was a sin. So I bring a chata. I bring an asham by a mitzvah. So to a zav, I got this not normal occurrence out of the ordinary strange sickness. So I must take a step back, think about what caused that. It must have been a sin that occurred. And therefore, I bring a chatas. And if he makes the same point by a zava, a female, instead of having an emission of semen, this is blood. He makes the same point by the Zava that she also brings karbanos. What does he say there? So now next paragraph. Hikalakasav bizova isha base nidasa v'lochai bakarban. By a woman, there's a difference between a nida and a zava. Maybe we'll address this in a minute. But a nida is someone who sees, maybe if we have time we'll define exactly how to make the distinction, but a nida is someone who the Torah says sees be'es nidasa, she sees menstrual blood in her normal cycle, so there she's just a nida, so she just has 7 days and goes to the mikvah. A zava, just like a zav is an abnormal admission, so too the zava, she sees menstrual blood not in her normal cycle, out of the ordinary, so must be some form of sickness, the Ramban says. So by a nida, bavorshu beteva, Lunis rapis micholi, she doesn't bring a carbon. The tamay also shivas yamin ben shatirio mecharo kol shiva, she called us in betiva lo tia ba yosem yishiva zuasi, ba yosem shefa yosem micholi. Aval ki zov zov dama yamin rabim, below isa yadu'ala, she sees for many days and not her normal scheduled time. O tosif al ha'is, or she did see originally in her normal time, but kept going normally and she longer than she normally does. The same thing, just like the Zav is an abnormal physical occurrence in his body, it's a form of a sickness. Just like the Zav brings a carbon, A, as Hoda, for being cured, and B, due to the sin that probably caused the Tuma, so too an Isha, who sees blood in not her normal time frame for a longer amount of time, must be an abnormal occurrence, must be a form of a sickness, and therefore she brings karbanos, same two karbanos. So you see a similar point, that just like the Mitzorah, who originally was just a Tuma, but the Tuma must have come for some reason, we don't just say, oh, it must be normal occurrence, it must be just a normal sickness. No, a person has to take stock and realize the fact that I'm getting these abnormal sicknesses is due to some form of avera. So therefore the response is that I bring karbanos. Again, so these karbanos will be different than the regular karbanos. We're just strict, simple. I'm over an avera. The way to fix it is to have the karbanos here. It's the tuma that was caused by an avera. In that state, I have to have a response. I have to give thanks in the cases where I had a sickness. And then I also have to respond to what caused those tumas. I have to bring a chatos. And the Sefer Chinuch also has a similar idea when he talks about the tuma of a zav. He says that even though it seems to be a normal occurrence, he says a Baal Keri right? Someone who sees normal Shifcha Zera in a normal occurrence, he doesn't bring a carbon. He says that it must be that what the normal way of things, what causes these admissions is Hirhurim, is being overly, he says, being overly involved in Gashmias. The Gemara describes how certain foods were prone, the Gemara talks about it in Yuma, when they wanted to make sure the Kohen Gadol was pure for Yom Kippur, and maybe he would see Kerry the night of Yom Kippur, that would disqualify him from the Avodah. The Gemara talks about certain foods that they would make sure not to feed him in order, the day before Yom Kippur, in order that he should remain pure. So even though it seems to be a natural occurrence, but the Chinuch says, yeah, but behind every natural occurrence is spiritual reasons, and that's the lessons from the Tzaras and from the Zav and Zava, that it, don't just think that they're physical, every physical occurrence is purely physical, there are spiritual underpinnings behind them, and the Karbanos are a response to them, and using this, these Rambans is helpful in explanations that in terms of the halachos of some of these karbanos are difficult to see how these karbanos, let's say these chataos of a mitzora, of a zav, zava, or yoledis in Parshas Tazvia, how do they square with the regular chataos that a person brings for an avera? Are there differences? And if you go through the Gemaras, sometimes there are differences in halacha between a regular chataos and these chataos, and that's because they're really a separate category. They're mechusre kapara, they're a kapara that needed to get a tara, they're not exactly tit for tat for an avera. They're a response to it. They're a response to these spiritual / physical illnesses. And I think the real lesson is, in all these common denominator, is to view occurrences. This very much fits with themes that we see in the Ramban. To view occurrences and not just chalk them up to the natural way of the world. To take stock of certain occurrences. Here it happens to be sickness, but it's true by a lot of things. And to realize that if you look deep down, maybe they are being caused by an avera, and the response has to be bisman based on migdash with a karbon. And Bizman Azeh, the response has to be what replaces carbon is tshuva and tefillah, and to not just...
It's stucca,
there are proofs in halacha that we treat stucca and a tainus, and they both do the same, because stucca, you're giving up of your financial comfort, and or it's a mesiris nefesh to give that money over, and a tainus is our physical well-being, our physical comfort to not eat for that day, so there are proofs in halacha that we treat a tainus, we treat stucca as a form of karbanos. There's, if a person, just like there's such a thing as a neder, that I obligate myself to bring a karbon, we say that a neder that a person obligates himself to give stucca might parallel each other halachically, so that's a very good point. So what to do as a response to these occurrences is not just to say, oh, it's the way of the world, but these karbanos show us that there's really spiritual forces that underlie even what we would think is the mundane physical occurrences on a person's body, what happens in a person's life. And just to close off, just in this Ramban, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, what he's addressing here is an important point, and there's an interesting halachic point here that we want to address. So if we just look at the Pasuk here that he's describing, right, we're talking about the karbanos that Zav brings. The Pasuk Yud Aleph says, V'chol asher yigo bo hazav, the yad of lo shatov b'mayim, the chibis begad of v'rachat b'mayim, the tamei ad erev. If the zav touches anything before literally lo shatov b'mayim, he didn't run his hands in water, he didn't wash his hands in water, and he didn't bring his clothes to the mikvah, then it's tamei. Meaning, if he hasn't washed his hands, the literal translation of the pasuk, then anything he touches is going to be tamei. What the Ramban is bothered by is, why did it say wash his hands? There's no such thing, according to the Torah, of being tamei, washing your hands in tilas yadayim and removing that tuma. The only thing that could remove a tuma is going to the mikvah. So why do we call it?
Why do we do it today?
Why do we do it in tilas yadayim today? We do it in tilas yadayim also in those days also. This pasuk is actually the asmachta. It's a hint that Chazal used that there is a concept of washing hands to remove tuma, but only on a derabbanan level, because the rabbanan said that our hands are tamei, and the way to remove the tuma from our hands is to wash our hands. But that's only because the Rabbanan said that our hands are not really tamei. It works. I mean, on a Rabbanan level. But if a person has a Torah impurity, if he's a Zav, he saw the admissions in a row, and therefore he has to have a whole process of Tahara by washing his hands. It's not, we can't erase tuma from the hands, and then there's still tuma the rest of your body. You obviously have to go to the mikvah, so why does it beat around the bush? So the Rabbanan says, Yikra kosova tefila shtifa b'mayim. We call tefila going to the mikvah, rinsing in water. Sher v'kan v'chol kli etz yishatef b'mayim. It also does it by kelim. V'chein yikra v'begadim kibbutz, v'kibbutz shenis v'tayer. And we call bringing clothes to the mikvah laundering. Why do we do this?
Laundering.
Kibbutz. Kibbutz means to launder. When it says in Pasuk, in Parshas, right when it's someone's tameh, his clothes are also tameh, the clothes that he's wearing, clothes that he touches. How does he remove the tumor from those clothes? He brings them to the mikvah. But it calls it the chibei sheinis v'taher. He washes the clothes again. It's not washing the clothes. It's bringing the clothes to the mikvah. You don't bring the clothes to the dry cleaner. He says this is hinting at the fact that the tefillah can't have a chatzitza. We want to say you rinse it in water. What rinsing in water implies, if it would have just said tefillah, I would have thought, okay, I just have to go in the mikvah. The fact that we call it rinsing in water sounds like a more intense, right, working, a more intense
connection. So why does not connection supply today?
Why don't we have two of the tire? We do. Technically, if a person would go to the, right now everybody is definitely
tummy
mace, tummy right. Latitumas. No one's a mitzora, Baruch Hashem, but people are tummy mace, tummy shechazera, maybe even tummy beziva. In general, in the world, so if a person went to the mikvah, he would remove all tumos that are on him except for tumas mace. Tumas mace, you can't remove unless it's a step. You have to go to the mikvah. You also have to, on the third and seventh day, you have to sprinkle with mechata. So we don't have paraduma. But let's say people who hold,
not yet.
People who hold that they have a heter to go, questionable heter to go to Har HaBayis b'zman hazeh. So what do they do? They hold that certain places of Har HaBayis a tamei mace is allowed to, but a zav or tamei shifchazera can't go to. So he has to remove the tumah shifchazera, even though he's not removing the tumah mace.
But they still go to the mikvah first.
So they go to the mikvah and they actually get tar from, even though they're not becoming tar from the tumah mace, they're getting tar from
whatever
from,
else.
But for men, women go to the mikvah, right? They go to the mikvah. It's the same. They're removing. So men, technically, if they were going to move it, they'd remove tumah carry tumah ziva. There's just no reason for it because there's no reason for us to be without. If we're not dealing with kachim and truma, we don't have to be tar. So that's why it says Shatav Mayim to teach a more intense going to the mikvah. But then he says something very interesting that there's a so the zav, one of the unique things. It says Amar Besof. Let me just tell you where it is in the sheet. The Amar Besof Arachat B'Mayim. Let's find this. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What is it called? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Excellent. Yes, the top line, second page. Amar Besof. Now, after the whole process of the Zav and Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, "V'chi Tayar Hazav Mizavav V'Safar Lo Shivas Yamim V'Tarasa V'chi Beitz Begad V'Rochas B'Zorav Mayim Chayim V'Tayar." So, besides Mayim Chayim Soda, there's also right. So that's where they got it from. Interesting play on words. But Mayim Chaim v'Taher. So what's Mayim Chaim? If you look at all other times that it says V'rochas b'saro b'mayim, and in Parshas Tazria, or when you bring the begadim b'mayim, Parshas Shmini, when it talks about the kilim, it says when you put them b'mayim. Only here it says b'mayim Chaim. So what's the difference between Mayim Chaim and regular Mayim? So this is a chumrah of a zav above and all most other tumayim, and that is that he can't. It's not. Doesn't suffice to go to a mikvah, right? Every mikvah that we have, every kosher mikvah that we have, is a regular, what the Torah says, rachatz b'sor b'mayim, a kosher mikvah to remove all tumos. But for a zav, you need mayim chayim. Mayim chayim means fresh, running spring water. That's what the halacha calls a mayan. It's not enough for him to go to a mikvah. He needs to go to a mayan, which is not just gathered rainwater, which what our mikvahs are, but fresh, actual running spring water. So by a zav, it says mayim chayim, the Ramban points out. Now, if you look in these psukim by a zava, it doesn't say what she should do. It doesn't say how she gets pure. V'chaz v'yomer b'isha v'isha kisi azava asher azav dami azov shelo lo luban k'ish v'hizker atuma benida v'zava. It mentions that anida and azava are tame v'achakach hizker b'ziva v'zava im taro mizava. If she counts the 7 days and she removes the tuma of being azava, kasher yitar azav mizava, how should she become pure? Just like the zav. V'safer lo shivas yomim kasher yisufar azav, she should count 7 days of clean days v'acher titar, then go to the mikvah. Kitaras hazav, just like a zav. So what would I deduce from there? Zav says mayim chayim. I would say she has to go to mayim chayim. The alderach apshat shetiach rechitza tzricha rechitza b'mayim chayim gezav. Now, what would that mean? That would mean that any woman who's a zava would have to go not just to a mikvah, to a fresh spring water of mayim chayim. So that's the pshat in the psukim. Now, okay, so let's say that would be true. So that'd be fine. The problem with that is that we find, even though the Torah says there's a distinction between a nid and a zava, just very basic, the distinction is the following. If a woman sees blood in her normal cycle, how we define that is questionable, but let's say her normal cycle, according to the Rambam, that is, let's say, from the first day she saw, from the first time she ever saw, when whatever age she was, so that's going to be day one. You're going to count 7 days. Those 7 days are what we'll call Yemei Nida. So those are fair ground for being a Nida. Following those 7 days is going to be an 11-day window. If she sees blood in those 11 days, then that's not a normal occurrence. If she just saw Nida blood a few days ago, it's not normal then to stop and then see again
11 days.
In those 11 days. So that must be abnormal occurrences. And if she sees numerous days in a row, she becomes a Zava. It's complicated, machlokas, exactly how to calculate those days. But the point is that it's not in her natural time. Fine, so we would say that if a Nida sees in her natural time, so she doesn't have to go to Mayim Chaim, go to regular mikvah, she's just a Nida. A Zava's more, she's like a Zav, she needs to go to Mayim Chaim. So that would be fine, except that nowadays the Gemara says we lost track. We can't calculate anymore when you're, no one's keeping track when you're a Nida, when you're a Zava. So as a Chumrah, we treat every woman who sees as a Zava. What does that mean? That it's not enough for her just to wait 7 days, period. Anita could bleed up until the last second that she goes to the mikvah. Then she sees that she's clean. She's waited 7 days of just 7 days. She goes to the mikvah. A Zava needs to wait 7 clean days. She has to stop bleeding. That could take 3 or 4 or 5 days. Then wait 7 days. Only after she's had 7 clean days, she goes to the mikvah. So we added a chumrah that every Nida, no matter when she sees, is a Zava. And if that would be true, that on top of that chumrah, every Zava would have to go to Mayim Chaim. So we don't find this. So he says, Aval Rabbi Seinu, he killed Bataras Azava. The Chazal, the Drasha, even though the Pashup Sharam Sukkim is that she needs to go to Mayim Chaim, Chazal have the Drasha that she's like a regular Tameya, she's like a Nida, she goes to May Mikvah. It's an explicit Tosefta in Megillah. The Tosefta says, Chomer Bezav in Bezava. A Zav needs Mayim Chaim, a Zava. A female who sees below Ace Nidasa doesn't need Mayim Chaim. So that's what's pretty explicit from the Ramban, even though the simple read of the Psukkim is that she does. So why is it such a big deal? Why am I making a big deal? Because there are some Rishonim who did ignore the Tosefta. They thought there were other sources of Chazal and went with a simple reading of Psukim. Rashi, all over the place. Rashi in Shabbos, in Nidarim, Nidarim is not Rashi, Rashi in Bechoros, quotes from the Gaonim, quotes from the previous generations, who says that there are some people who said that a Zava needs Mayim Chaim, and the Rashi says it's ridiculous and proves proof.
Then says
throws
it's
it
ridiculous?
If Rashi says, I'm arguing on them, it's ridiculous. Oh. If the Tosefta says that she doesn't. Now, according to those opinions, that a Zava needs Mayim Chaim, what about the question we just asked? That every Zava, nowadays, every woman we treat as a Zava. So they would have to go to Mayim Chaim. So there actually are mikvahs that are Mayim Chaim. Not mikvahs. There are places that people go. So actually, the Hackensack, and I'm not giving an advertisement, but the Hackensack, no. the Tenafly mikvah is not a mikvah. It's actually a Mayan. What they did was once on a tour. What they did was they.
So that's better.
It's not better. It's definitely not better. Now, halachically, there's for a woman to go to the mikvah. It's exactly the same thing.
But Chabad holds for a man, you do not need running water.
Right. That's about carry. Right. You don't need any. You don't need regular. But if no one nowadays is concerned about being a Zav. But what they did is they dug down, very deep down in the ground. And they hit fresh water, and they somehow siphoned off in that fresh water, and that's what fills the not
they're
where you told them.
They're tapping into fresh water.
They have fresh water. No, well, that's what they're keeping in the now where you're being told. That's where they're keeping under the boards. Right, it's not constant. But they could use it to refill. They have a constant flow of fresh water. There are other mikvahs that I think in Square someone told me that's what they do. They use fresh water. But according to this Gaonim Shita, the Rashi quotes, that as every Zava needs Mayim Chaim, so what are you going to do? Everyone's going to have to line up and go to the Tenafly Mikvah. So
that's good advertising.
Good advertising for Rabbi Shane, but that's not what's going on. So what they explain for some of the Achronim, what they explain for that opinion in the Gaonim is the following, which is the whole bigger topic. There's a split when it comes to a Zava between two aspects of her. She's Tmeya, in the sense that she's Tmeya like every other Tamei of Sheretz, Nevela, and Zav, in the sense that she can't go to Beis HaMikdash, she can't touch Kachim, she can't touch Truma. If she touches, this chair, she makes it into an avatuma. If she sits in the chair, that's true. That's one half of the zava. The other half of the zava is that she's like Anida, she's Asura Labaila. Right? There are two halves to her. So what they say is that even according to this opinion, who follows the simple explanation of Psukim, that a zava needs Mayim Chaim, that's in terms of the Tuma Vatara aspect of the zava. If she wants to go to Beis HaMikdash, she needs to go to Mayim Chaim. If she wants to become mutter to her husband, she doesn't need Mayim Chaim. Then she's like Anida, like the Tosefta says. She could just go to a regular mikvah. There's an added dimension that besides, you could split between the Isser to her husband and the Tuma Vatara. And to remove the Tuma Vatara, she needs Mayim Chaim, like the simple read of the Psukim. But to be mutter to her husband, of course she doesn't need Mayim Chaim. Not everyone has to line up to go to a Mayan, either a Mayan they put into the what we call a mikvah or a real Mayan. Of course not. Even according to that opinion that Rashi quotes in Shabbos and Bechoros, it's enough to just go to a mikvah. But it's just a fascinating point. Nonetheless, the difference between a Mayan and a mikvah. Okay, good Shabbos. Yeah.